All I can say is, what a world we live in. It just doesn't seem to quit, does it? And what's that tell us? We got to trust in Jesus, our great deliverer. He's our redeemer. He's our sustainer. He is our Lord forever. Forever. And he has said with his own words, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's making it that he's talking to you. He's talking to you and he's talking to me. He wants to make sure you know he's making it personal and he will never forsake you. Because he said, I will not, I will not, I will not. Make sure you understand that. He wants us to know that because we can get so overwhelmed by what we see in this world. Now, in Isaiah chapter 11, we're going to read the first three scriptures. And this is prophesying about Jesus, of course. So I want you to understand it when we read it in Isaiah 11. Verse 1, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. Jesus does not judge things by what he sees or by what he hears. We need to be like him. There's a song, and it's called Less Like Me by Zach Williams. You heard it? It goes like this. Oh, I have days I lose the fight. Try my best, but just don't get it right. Well, I talk a talk that I don't walk and miss the moments right before my eyes. Somebody with a hurt that I could have helped. Somebody with a hand that I could have held. When I just can't see past myself. Oh Lord, help me be a little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love, and faith. A little more like patience, a little more like peace. A little more like Jesus, a little less of me. Well, that last line there, to me, I thought it should say, a lot more like Jesus and a whole lot less of me. But I also want to point out here the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because that was in verse 2. Because the Holy Spirit said, when I was using this to go the direction away, it says, you need to let them know about the gifts. Because they're free. They're free. And the gifts that we get from God are always the things we need for life. Did you ever notice that? So when you buy a gift for someone, don't you like to buy something that they need? That they'll be able to use? Hey, that's your Heavenly Father. He wants to make sure he supplies you with nothing but the best gifts. And especially he knows the gifts you will need for this life that we're living in. Now these gifts that I want to point out to you, remember, they are not the nine fruits of the Spirit. Because the nine fruits are found in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and I like this one, self-control. Self-control. All right, back to the gifts. The gifts are one, wisdom. Wisdom. This enables us to know God and esteem divine things above worldly things. Then you have the spirit of the gift of understanding. It helps us to clearly comprehend our faith and have a very clear revelation of the Word of God. Then you have counsel. This is the knowledge necessary to guide ourselves and others to do God's will. It helps us help others get through spiritual and temporal things. Then we have fortitude. This is a strength of mind that enables us to endure and have the courage needed as we suffer persecution and adversities. Knowledge. This helps us to know God, ourselves, and others as God knows. And knowledge comes as we word up. Piety. This gift helps us to live our lives as full and complete human beings. Piety draws us to church. It prompts us to pray, even when we may not feel like doing so. It infuses us with love for serving God and seeing Him in all events through a life of prayer. Yeah. Then we have fear of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This is a reverential fear, one of displeasing God. This is filial fear. As children of God to our Abba, Father, Daddy. Let me give you an example. A husband who loves his wife and doesn't say things or do things that may offend or hurt her has filial fear. Okay. Here's another example. Okay. Because I know that one just everybody, but okay. But you, if you take time and listen to it and let it sink in, okay. A child who obeys his parents, even when they are not around or may not find out what he has been doing, honors his parents through filial love or fear. And it's actually love, too. But because he knows that even if they didn't find out what he had been doing, the prohibited thing is hurtful to his parents. And because he loves them, he can't bear to do that hurtful thing. Now, does it make a difference? Obedience. Obedience is a big thing. Because you don't want to displease him. If he's told you to do something, let's do it. Let's do it. But that's a type of fear we're talking about. That's our daddy. You wouldn't want to do anything that's going to offend your dad. Even if you're out there and you say, my dad wouldn't let me do that. I can't do that. I can't do that. I'm going to expose my daughter's not here this morning, so pray for Leanne. But she, this was years ago. She knew that we told her not to go to this dance at the school. This is going way back now. And she said, okay, I'm not going to go. Well, I'm going over to my friend's house. Okay. Well, a couple hours later. Now, this is back before you could sit down and pick up your phone and say, where's my kid at? Where's they at? You know, we can track our kids. Give them a cell phone. That's why I buy them cell phones, so we can find out where they're at. Well, anyhow, Leanne went to the dance. Didn't think we'd find out. She went to the dance. She got to the dance. And when she was there, because I'm newly saved, I'm really praying hard for my daughter now. Holy Ghost convicted her big time. She broke down at the school crying. And she says, I got to go home. They would actually bring them in for the dance. Nobody left till after the dance. You couldn't go in and out. That's one thing the school did. She says, but I got to go home. You don't understand. And she cried. You know what they said? Okay, we got to call your parents. Called, I had to go and pick her up. And when I went up, walked up to school, and she walked up, she was bawling and crying. I said, what are you crying for? She says, because I disobeyed you. She says, I shouldn't have, Dad. And she was sitting crying. She says, you know what? I'm proud of you. I said, there's not a problem here. Because I says, I know you'll do the right thing the next time. You'll let me know about this, you know. But we had forbid her to do something, and she was disobedient. And the Holy Ghost convicted her. So it's another thing. Pray for your kids. Pray that the Holy Spirit leads and guides them. And He will. He will. And then you call on your ministering spirits in the Bible. Your ministering spirits are, they're your angels. You call them and you send them out. Don't forget you got them angels. Call them out in faith and believe they're going out to do what you've called them to do. And they will do it. Little side journey there. But both of these examples, we can see they involve something called true love. True love, fear, and reverence. The gifts of the Spirit are given to us the day you ask Jesus into your heart. That package, that gift of Jesus, that large grace gift, and you accepted it, it was like, wow. And here, wow, you open it up, look at this grace gift. And then you realize, wait a minute, there's more gifts with inside the original gift. It's a gift that keeps on giving and giving and giving. Well, we don't know what's there because we aren't opening up and getting aware of what's in the gift. The gifts are found in His Word. It's called His promises. Okay, back to Isaiah now, verse 3 there. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. Jesus does not judge things by what he sees or by what he hears. In Jeremiah 17:10, Message Bible, but I, God, search the heart and examine the mind. I get to the heart of the human. I get to the root of things. I treat them as they really are, not as they pretend to be. In Romans chapter 2, verse 6, He will judge everyone according to what they have done. And the Holy Spirit convicted me to put something in there. And I know you're not supposed to add to, but... And when I read that, it says, according to what they have done and not done. I said, okay. I said, but I know what your word says. He says, I give you permission. It's okay. But God will punish those who have sinned. And you know how a lot of the sin has come down? Lying. Lying is a sin. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22, Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. Proverbs 25:18. Anyone who tells lies against the neighbors in court or on the street is a loose cannon. Lying is vicious. Its effects can be permanent as those of a stab wound. The Living Bible? Telling lies about someone is as harmful as hitting them with an axe, or wounding him with a sword, or shooting him with a sharp arrow. Those hunters know what I'm talking about when I talk about sharp arrows. I don't know if you've ever seen one. Will you touch it? Razor sharp. Right, Roy? Yeah, you got to know Gary. You got to be careful handling them because they're dangerous. Lying is very dangerous and deadly. Oh, and when you're tempted to pass on like a bit of gossip, imagine yourself of stabbing that victim with your remarks as being a sword. You know, that just may shock you into silence. Might keep you from opening up your mouth. Because once a wound is inflicted, you may stop it up. Guess what? It leaves what they call a scar. Yeah. And scars are a reminder. And we know we're supposed to forget them, but a scar is a scar, folks. Best to keep silent sometimes. In Luke 12, verse 2, Dean's new favorite, the Passion. Everything hidden and covered up will soon be exposed, will it not? For the facade is falling down, and nothing will be kept secret for long. More and more is being exposed. But a lot of the church is not hearing it because it's not on the news media that we normally watch. And it is being censored. It's being censored on so many different social media platforms. Now, all of them, some of them are still hanging in there. They've actually written against three networks because the other ones fall in line. They wrote against them. OAN and that one little animal, the fox. They wrote. We had people write letters to companies that, you know, put them on Roku and on, you know, Amazon, all of them. They wrote letters to them and said, why are you funding and leaving these networks put all that stuff out there that's negative? They didn't report, you haven't reported on anything properly or truthfully. What? I mean, they're the only ones that are last that are actually doing. I mean, they're not perfect, but still, they were reporting stuff that was not even heard of, and they're trying to get them quieted. They've went to the government to try to get them quieted. They're taking on networks, folks. Wow, what times we live in. So when you get something, share it. Share it. And if you need it thoroughly investigated, take it back to Sherry.
That's right.
And I don't mean it jokingly. I'm telling you. She'll tell you whether it's a bunch of garbage or not. She does her research. So does Dean, by the way, if you need any extra help there. I think Floriana's another one. Okay. But we got to share this information that is not getting out because there's a lot of people that don't know it. And a lot of them are in the body of Christ. They are not getting the information. because they're so focused on everything around them and the world and not thinking there is a God moving for them.
Right.
And that's a shame. Because I've told you, God is in control.
Amen.
God is in control. That's why I say we got to stand on that and believe that. Because in Matthew 10:26, don't be afraid or intimidated by others, for God will bring everything out into the open and every secret will be told. Who's going to do it?
God.
Not man. And when God brings it out, Mario, you're going to hear their voices come out and say, you know, I did this. But as our brother pointed out, we still got to pray for him. Pray that their eyes of understanding are opened up. Because if not, I don't want to be in their shoes. In Psalm 37, verses 7 through 10, and by the way, I couldn't use Psalm 34, brother. Thank you for that on Wednesday. He's not even paying attention to me. He's not. I've been watching, he's sitting there. You heard what I said? Okay. So you got to. If you were here on prayer night, you would have saw Timmy did, and he read the whole chapter, the whole psalm. It's okay. Got it. You know, he's already used it. But I'm going to use Psalm 37, verses 7 through 10, New Living Translation. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. Stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm. And usually it's yourself or the person you're having a discussion with. And you don't mean to, but that's who you're going to take it out on. For the wicked will be destroyed, but those who trust in the Lord will possess the land. It will be returned to the godly. Verse 10, soon the wicked will disappear. Though you look for them, they will be gone. Anger and worry, that's that fretting they're talking about there. They are two very destructive emotions. They reveal a lack of faith that God loves us and is in control. We should not worry. Instead, we should be trusting in God, giving ourselves to Him for His use and His safekeeping. Because when we make ourselves totally available to Him, He'll take care of you. I will supply all your needs. And if it's a job you need, He'll get you a job. You don't have health insurance? He'll give you health insurance. In fact, He's gave you the best health insurance.
Yes,
you've been redeemed. When we dwell on our problems and our situations, we become anxious and we become angry. But if we concentrate on God and His goodness, we will find peace.
Amen.
A peace that surpasses all understanding. Question, where's your focus and your concentration? Because if you're not concentrating and focusing on the target, you ain't going to hit the target. Because when you're out on a shooting range and you get distracted, they're going to go up and say, you never hit the target. Of course, you got distracted.
Yeah.
The world distracts us. We got to concentrate and not let fear distract us. Soon the wicked will disappear. Though you look for them, they will be gone. He said, they will be gone, praise God. Listen, if God says it, this guy right here, I believe it. And you know what? That settles it. Boom. That settles it. Some are saying, okay, but when? Hey, Job said the same thing. Job said the same thing. In chapter 24, verse 1, he said, why doesn't God, all-powerful, set times for judgment? And why can't his followers know when those times will be? Job asked the question. You in good company. He made it to the Bible. So we need to know times and dates. That would make life so much easier because it wouldn't take any faith. It is important to simply believe and trust wholeheartedly in Him and grow our faith. Faith will grow. It's like a seed. That's your G, a double Z. And when you plant it, it will grow. Be patient. Be patient, and it will grow. It starts out small, but the more you nurture it, and with faith, and you're trusting God, and you're speaking His Word, all of a sudden that faith starts to grow, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then nothing comes out of your mouth but faith. It does not come out and say, oh, man, I don't know if I can take it this morning. Oh, I'm good. And I still don't hear him getting congested. I still don't hear it. And my brother doesn't mind. But I mean, that's an example of how important it is to watch the words that come out of your mouth. You're walking and doing the first thing that comes out of your mouth is that, oh, it's going to be a rough one. I ain't going to be able to breathe much longer. All right. And I said, I can't let this go. He's got to be up there singing, see, and we're going to need him.
Amen.
So when somebody brings a correction to you, don't take offense to it. Say, thank you. I needed that. Because if you're correcting them with the Word, that's what it's about. That's important. That's what we need to be there for one another to make sure. Because if not, the more you keep talking that, you'll never get healed. You'll never get healed. You talk down on your finances, you're never going to have finances. Well, you don't know what's in my checking account. You know, I don't care what's in your checking account. I know what God said. God said He will supply all of your needs. What did He say about prosperity? You look at prosperity, wonder, look at it from a different angle. And then you say, wow, I am blessed. I am blessed. And you'll be rejoicing because of that. And next thing you know, your bank account's going to start saying, where'd that money come from?
Right.
Let God work and let Him do what He can do for you. Trust in Him with your whole heart. God has His date picked. I guarantee it. And He also has perfect timing, and it's already set. We just don't know. It could happen tomorrow. Don't know. But we know things are happening. We know things are happening, and that's why we got to share with one another the news that we get that is not getting out. In Joel chapter 1, verse 15, your other favorite, Dean, the classified, alas for the day. For the day of the judgment of the Lord is at hand, and as a destructive tempest from the Almighty will it come. I have no doubt about it. His day is coming. Jeremiah 46:10. For this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge himself on his adversaries. The day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is coming. And that is a common phrase in the Old Testament. It refers to some extraordinary happening. God is not ordinary, and neither are we, because we are all supernatural, because we serve a supernatural God. And if he's supernatural and we're his kids, we are supernatural. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Friends, do not avenge yourselves. Instead, leave room for his wrath. For it is written, vengeance belongs to me. I will repay, says the Lord. I like that. Paul wrote that in there and he said, for it is written. Well, it's written because he knew scriptures. And he knew what Deuteronomy 32:35 said. Vengeance is mine in recompense. Their foot shall slip in due time. For the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things to come hasten upon them. Now, the house. The house. Talking about our government. They passed House Bill H.R. 5 this past Thursday, called the Equality Act. It is now in the hands of the Senate. I don't know if you are aware of what this bill, if passed into law by the Senate, would mean to all of us, our nation, the church. I urge you to look it up, read it, to see what it says. Because what to say in Hosea 4:6? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I'm going to tell you, you got to quiet yourself in the presence of God. Pray for understanding and enlightenment before you read it. And know that you have the gift of the spirit of understanding and knowledge. H.R. 5. Okay. This way, see, you'll be able to clearly see how it goes against God and the church. The Word of God exposes everything in this bill. But while the bill was being debated in the House, it was a statement that was made, was quite, to me, I said, I'm going to read you this. During the debate over the Equality Act, a measure that would create a right to kill babies in abortions and force Americans to fund abortions, Republicans accused Democrats of ignoring biblical values. And a surprising comment from pro-abortion Democratic Congressman blank blank, I can let you know that later, confirmed that to be true. I won't say his name was Jim Nadler, Jerry Nadler. Okay, I didn't say that. Okay. Yeah, it is. Part of the debate over the pro-abortion measure revolved around sex and gender issues. And Representative Greg Stube from Florida, he upset Democrats when he confirmed God makes boys and girls unique. I'm going to say this is what he said. When men or women claim to be able to choose their own sexual identity, They are making a statement that God did not know what he was doing when he created them, the congressman said. The gender confusion that exists in our culture today is a clear rejection of God's good design. Whenever a nation's laws no longer reflect the standards of God, that nation is in rebellion against him and will inevitably bear the consequences, the congressman said. We are seeing the consequences of rejecting God here in our country today. That promoted a rather shocking comment from Nadler. What any religious tradition describes as God's will is no concern of this Congress. Oh, no, you've done it now. You're going to feel the fire. God's not going to be mocked. He's not going to like that. There are a lot of people witness that. And if you see somebody after service that doesn't have any hair and has this little great goatee, you ask him, he can give you the address, and you can actually, you can look at this man's face. You can tell. You can tell. So don't be intimidated about giving your senators a call and tell them no to this bill. Now, they said it's probably not going to pass the Senate. Well, this is not 2019. See, it was defeated once. And the bill was brought back up a second time because we got new leadership. Ungodly leadership. But we... Okay.
That's exactly. They want an experiment on children. They've gone back with what Germany did back in the 40s and 30s. They absolutely want to experiment without parental consent on either homeless children or children on the streets by amputations and drug experimentation. And it's outlined, and it is absolutely, it's from the pit of hell. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And they're open about it now.
Oh, yeah? That's right. You got to be aware of what is going on, folks. Because, like I say, the church was just asleep too long. The Great Awakening has happened. There's a lot of people running for answers, coming in. A lot of salvations are happening right now. A lot of people getting saved. Their eyes are getting opened up. But this has been going on for so long. Where have we been? Where have we been? You know, and I'm taking that personally. I kept saying, where have I been? Have I been asleep? No longer. I mean, I think it needs to be brought up and talked about right here. Right here. I'm not ashamed of that. Proverbs 6, verse 16 said, okay. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. See, he said, wait a minute, there's one more he wants to let us know here. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. Wow. When you look up abomination, you know what it means? It means God hates it. He hates it. Psalm 112. I've got to leave you something better than that. Praise the Lord! Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. A good man deals generously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid unless he sees his desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. Verse 10. The wicked will see it and be grieved. They will gnash. He will gnash his teeth, it says, and melt away. I'm melting. The desire of the wicked shall perish. The desire is a strong feeling of wanting to have something or wish for something to happen. Their desire is to have evil things happening. Not to just the nation, but to you. Because it affects you. And it affects your children. And it affects your grandchildren. What we let happen now is going to affect our grandchildren. We have the powerful Holy Spirit. And we have the gifts of the Spirit. Pray them that they open you up to more of an understanding of what is going on so that you can articulate it properly to those that need to hear it. Because sometimes they'll come with some of these off-the-wall arguments, and you got to be prepared. And the only one who's going to prepare you for that is the Holy Spirit. Amen? But yeah, because the Equality Act mandates an anti-life, anti-family, anti-faith agenda upon all America, just so you know that. Amen? Well, I think that's a good place to stop. And I think let's...